The tshuva we're going to study today is a famous tshuva by the Rivash dealing with smicha. What is smicha in the 14th and 15th century? The Rivash was Rav Yitzhak Ben Sheshes, and he was born in Barcelona in 1326. He dies in Algiers in 1408. He studied under the Ran, Rabbi Nissim Ben Ruvain, one of the Talmidim from the school of the Ramban. Ramban had the Talmud, the Rashba, and the Ritva, and eventually led to the Ran. So the Rivash comes from that Spanish school. And the Rivash, again, starts off in Barcelona, and he serves as the rabbi of important Jewish communities in Spain. In 1391, in the wake of severe anti-Jewish riots in Spain, the Rivash flees to Algiers, where he becomes a chief rabbi and the head of the rabbinic court. The author of the Tashbetz was a dayan, was a judge in his court, and he wrote many tshuvos, much responsa literature, and much of it is included in Rabbi Yosef Cairo's Shulchan Aruch. Now, here's a story. This is from Simon Reish Ayin Aleph. The story goes like this. There was a Rabbi Matisio Treves. He was known as the head of the French rabbis, and very popular. The tshuva discusses how everyone loved him. The king loved him. The people loved him. And no one criticized him at all. Life was great when he was the rabbi. Now, after he dies, his son, Rav Yochanan Treves, succeeds him. However, the tshuva, this is again Simon Reish Ayin Aleph on the tshuva to the Rivash. Tshuva discusses how there was an Ari or an Aryeh Shebachabura, there was this great lion, Meshe Milchamto Shel Torah. He was a great responder in the Battle of Torah. His name was Rav Yeshaya. He was another student of Rav Matisyahu. And he had a bit of a machlokes with Rav Yochanan. And so he leaves, and he leaves France, because Rav Matisyahu is the rabbi in France. And he goes to Germany, goes to Ashkenaz, and there he is under the leadership of Rav Meir Bar Baruch Halevi. And Rav Meir Bar Baruch Halevi gives him a smicha document. And he says the following, Gzeiras Nidui Shetia Memshalto Komachut Sarfat. Rav Meir Ben Baruch Halevi essentially gives him smicha and says, Rav Yeshaya, you are in charge by power of excommunication over the entire kingdom of France. You're the chief rabbi. Vishum Rava Shiyakum Litfos Yeshiva B'Tzarfat B'Li Reshut Rav Yeshaya. Anyone who tries to take leadership of Yeshiva in Tzarfat without permission of Rav Yeshaya, you kol hagitim v'chalitzot Shiyasu L'fam P'sulim. All of his gittin and chalitzas will all be pasul. V'kelev klei ovdei kochavim. And all of your kelim, all of your kitchenware, would all be, quote-unquote, non-kosher, as it were. And this turned the French community upside down. They didn't know what to do. Here was this, I guess, the chief rabbi, the primary rabbinic leader of Ashkenaz, saying that the rabbi whom the French community accepted upon themselves as the leader, namely Rav Yochanan, that he should defer and he should give up his title and let Rav Yeshaya be the rabbi. And so the French rabbis turn to the Rivash and they say, can he do this? Can Rav Meir Ben Baruch Halevi, a rabbi in Ashkenaz, can he determine who's the chief rabbi in France? And in the tshuva, the Rivash writes, And he said, I'm very nervous to get involved, these two great leaders. is major machlokes. Pen Yarutsu es Gugulotai. Gugulotai, that maybe they will actually crush my skull. In other words, he's nervous if he paskins the wrong way, then he might get harmed. But he says that he was pressured by this Rav Yehuda ben Rav Eliezer to give him an answer, and he needs to respond. And he writes, Av ki ra'isi, yesh b'shtika ksat chilul Hashem. He says, sometimes when you're silent, that can cause a chilul Hashem. He's saying, if I paskin like one side over the other side, then the one I paskin against will be very upset at me. But if I'm silent, that itself can cause a chilul Hashem. So therefore, the Rivash decides he's going to rule here on this issue of whether, again, Rav Meir ben Baruch HaLevi, this rabbi in Germany, has the right to appoint the Rav Yeshaya as the chief rabbi of France against the will of the French people. They want Rav Yochanan to be the rabbi. So, in the context of this tshuva, the Rivash asks the basic question, what is smicha? He says, Tchilas kol davar tzirich levar'er. I first need to explain, mazu smicha, what is smicha shenagu b'tzarfad v'ashkeraz, that they had the custom in France and Germany, sharabanim nismachim v'hem somchim acharim, that the rabbis get smicha and they give smicha to other people. What is this modern day smicha in the 14th and 15th century? So he first wonders whether this is the smicha in the time of Chazal. The smicha in the time of Chazal was kedei lodun dine nefashos v'dine kenasos, was to those individuals who had smicha had the power to rule on death penalty cases and also on cases that enforce fines and penalties above and beyond regular mamonos, regular compensation, additional penalties, additional fines, punitive damages. Only someone as smicha can adjudicate this type of case. And he says that this can't be the current smicha. The smicha that took place in the days of Chazal can't be modern day smicha. Why? He says, number one, she'ein samuch ish mi'ish ad adon hanvim alav hashalom. That there's no continuation of a lineage all the way from Moshe to Yeshua to next generation, all the way to the 14th, 15th century. There's no unbroken chain of musmachim, of this type of smicha. So that's what you need. You need one leader to another, to another, to another. We don't have that chain. And secondly, he says, V'gam she'ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. So he also writes that smicha of the time of Chazal had to have been done in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. So that can't be what this type of smicha is, because people are granting smicha in Chutz La'aretz. So it can't be the type of smicha that for the time of Chazal that allowed you to enforce, to adjudicate death penalty cases, punitive damage cases, and also, by the way, also allowed you to become part of the Sanhedrin. That doesn't exist now. Then he said, maybe that this smicha is what's called netilas reshus ladun bikfia. Maybe smicha is the right that a judge receives from the exilarch, the Rosh Gola, the head, the political head of the Jewish community, to adjudicate cases by force. Maybe that's what this is. But he said, and he writes, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Roshei Galuyo Shebabavel Hein Omdi B'Makom Melech, that the heads that of the exile, the political heads, the political Jewish heads in Bavel, are in some sense in place of the king, and they have the right to lead the Jewish people, enforce their rules, and therefore they can, based on the pasuk of Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Mechokin Bein Raglav, what's Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda? So this is the Roshei Galuyo Shebabavel, the heads of the Galut in Bavel, the Jewish political leaders in Bavel, have the right to enforce legal decisions on their Jewish communities. So therefore, maybe smicha is the right of judges or rabbinical leaders to adjudicate cases on behalf of the Rosh Gola, the political leader. But he says that can't be correct. Why? Because the nowadays, these individuals who have smicha, they didn't get the power from the Rosh Gola. There's no Rosh Gola that they're getting power from. They're getting their power perhaps from a previous rabbi. They're not getting explicit permission from the exilarch. And so therefore it can't be this type of smicha. Then he says, maybe the Rosh Gola gave smicha, gave the power to one rabbi, and then now that rabbi has the power to give it to another rabbi and so on and so forth. So that's not true. He says, because this type of smicha, this type of right, netilas rashus ladun bikfia, this type of right to adjudicate and to force your rulings upon your community, you can't get that power from a judge who got it from another judge, all the way up from the Rosh Gola. You have to get the right directly from the Rosh Gola. So that cannot be what smicha is in the 14th and 15th century. He says that smicha also is not a test to see if someone's knowledgeable. There's no evidence for that either. And what he concludes is that ma shenira lomar b'smicha, what it seems to say that what is smicha, husha talmid, that is that the student, afilu higia lahora, even if he has the requisite knowledge, osur lo lahoros halacha b'shum makom ba'olam, elim kenoto rishus mirabah. He's not allowed a paskin, a shayla, unless he got permission from his rabbi. Az rabbo nosin lo rishus likvo yeshiva b'chol makom. Smicha is the rabbi giving him permission to establish the yeshiva in any place. V'lidrosh l'horosh l'kol ha'balishol. And then to paskin for anyone who has a shayla. That is what smicha is. The Rivash explains that smicha in the 14th and 15th century is a form of permission from one's Rebbe to issue rulings in the vicinity of his Rebbe. And you can't do that unless you receive permission from your Rebbe to do that. In other words, smicha is not smicha from the time of Chazal. Smicha is not permission from the Rosh Gola to enforce rulings on Klal Yisrael. You know what smicha is? Smicha is formal granting of permission from a Rebbe to a Talmud to Paskin Shilas. And the Rivash points out that if the Rebbe passes away, the student doesn't need to receive permission. It's not based on some kind of outside organization and standards. It's simply a Rebbe giving permission to a Talmud, to a student, to adjudicate rulings. So based on this, he writes, Achar shebiarti lefi dati, ma inyan asmicha. And he said, after I've explained what is smicha, what's this type of smicha that they're practicing in France and Germany? It's essentially getting permission from your Rebbe to paskin shailas. So he says, therefore, he says, Omer ki inyana gzeira sher gazam morenu harav meir ben baruch halevi al kilat sarfat v'chachmeya. He says that this decree that the chief rabbi in Ashkenaz decreed on the communities of France that are not his kol chachmim v'talmidim she'enam talmidav, he's enforcing this kind of rule, or he's trying to enforce, he's making a decree on sages and students that are not his students, v'lo talmidei harav Rav Yeshaya, and he's telling individuals who are not his students and not the students of Rav Yeshaya, ain lachush laklal. You don't have to be concerned about it at all. He could be a great rabbi, he could be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he has no right, he has no authority to appoint his student as the head of the community of France. The community picks who their rabbi is. What is smicha? Smicha is simply that a student needs to get permission to paskin shailas in the vicinity of his Rebbe. But it doesn't give a Rebbe the right, no matter how great he is, to appoint someone to be in charge of a community. No, the community picks the rabbi. And just that rabbi has to get permission from his Rebbe to paskin if he's in his vicinity. He writes that even though Rav Levi is muflag, b'chachma muflag b'zikna, he's wise, he's elderly, but he's not the Nasi. He's not the head of the Sanhedrin. He's not someone who makes gzeros. He says he's a chacham. He lives in Ashkenaz. He has no right to make decrees upon anyone outside his community. And therefore, the Rivash writes that the French rabbis are not bound by Rav Meir ben Baruch Halevi's decision, and they can keep Rav Yochanan, who's Rav Matthew's son, as the chief rabbi in France. And the truth is, the Ramah paskined like the Rivash. The Ramah in Yoredeah, Simon Reish Mem Beis, Seif Yudal, he says, what haga? Inyan asmicha shenagim b'zman hazeh, the concept of smicha nowadays, k'dei sheyedu kol ha'am sheyegia lo ra, so that everyone should know that someone has reached a certain standard of proficiency in halacha. Ma shemora hu birshus rabo somcho, and that which he paskins, that which he teaches, is with the permission of his Rebbe who gave him smicha, and v'lachen, and therefore, k'var meis rabo, if his Rebbe dies, ain tzarech l'smicha, he doesn't need smicha. Now, the Rabbanut in Israel is nothing like this, because the Rabbanut in Israel, there are certain standards, whether it works well, whether it does work well, but theoretically, the Rabbanut in Israel is that once you, some outside organization is telling you that once you reach certain standards, then you have an official role, perhaps to be a rabbi of a town, a rabbi of Ashkacha. It's an outside agency that is asserting that you will have this authoritative role. That's not the kind of smicha that the Rivash was talking about that took place in the 14th and 15th century. According to the Rivash, the community selects who their leaders are, not some outside organization. The community selects the Rabbanim and who's going to paskin halacha for them. And the only function of smicha is if your Rebbe is alive and you want to get permission from him to paskin shas. Why this tshuva is so important is that it's important for us to understand when we talk about what's smicha. Smicha can have multiple meanings, and it could depend when you're living, what era you're living in, and what the functions are. In the times of Chazal, it may have meant one thing. In the times of the Rosh Gula, it might have meant something else. In times of the Rivash, it may have meant something else. And in our times, it could mean something else as well. But this is important tshuva whenever we're discussing the definition and the parameters of what smicha is all about.